May these words be to God's glory. Today, as a church, we're in a place we don't want to be. I know that. But what if we're wrong? What if we are exactly where we need to be in this moment in time? We react. We remember the horrors of the past. We say, oh, God in heaven, please don't let that happen again. Please? Then we hear the words from Paul's letter to the Hebrews and the words about Jesus from the writer of Luke, and we wonder, is there something in here that might help us? What might we need from them this morning? Is there something in those words that can help us where we sit today? As I prepare to leave California for Wisconsin, I am both sad and excited. We've done good work together as a church, but always for me was the undercurrent that I wouldn't be able to stay here because of the cost of housing. It was out of my touch and out of yours. Most, if not all of you, are aware of the problem. We live in a place where things are going well. I remember early on when Larry said, well, if the traffic's heavy, that means business is good. And if the traffic's light, that means business isn't good. The business of the world, not just the nation, happens in many ways here. So it makes sense that it's expensive to live here. But it actually gets exacerbated if you have the great joy of having two big dogs. That exacerbates the whole show. So as much as this is a sad and difficult undercurrent, I think we did good work in these 2 years that I've been together with you. Like I said in my farewell letter, the way I see it is when I came here, and for those of you who don't agree with me, when I came here, the ship was listing. It was in the harbor, so it was safe, but it was kind of tilted on not doing so well. I think together we've righted the ship. I think the ship is in good shape. We fixed the sails. We got a good anchor. And now it is time to move forward. So I feel in some ways that was my job to do here, although none of us actually knew that, but I think that was the job to get us back in shape, to do a better job of being the church for each other and people outside. Sometimes a pastor is only with you long enough to download everything she or he might know in a moment and then move on. And sometimes we stay a long time, maybe too long. I've experienced both kinds of ministry. I think a long-term pastor can get complacent, and a short-term pastor realizes there is just so much more to be done. But let's not forget Jesus. Jesus never let the grass grow under his feet. He was always on the move. He must have driven his mother to distraction. And just think, they didn't have cell phones, text, or emailing. They didn't know where he was from time to time. They could only hear it through the grapevine. And Jesus was no shy wallflower. He was always pushing, as we hear in the story from Luke. Always pushing to get people to think and see differently. So Jesus is invited to dinner by a very powerful man. Well, that'd be like you're invited to dinner by Vice President Biden, okay? And, you know, it's lots of powerful people there. And the powerful people are meant to take the best seats at the table. And Jesus admonishes and says, it's better to be humble. It is better to be humble than to exploit your position of power. He's trying to say that it's not about what we're going to get from where we sit. It's what we're going to get from our humility. If they invite the Son of God to their table, just maybe, they will get salvation. But Jesus says it can't be about a quid pro quo. It has to be about God's people in the moment, the here and now, to figure out this complicated world together. Now, my Nana would say that Jesus was rude for saying those things to his host. She would say, you don't act like that in front of someone who's invited you to dinner. But Jesus was in a hurry, and he might have said, sorry, but I got to tell you this. I know it's not good manners, but I really need to let you know. Jesus left no stone unturned. And if he could do everything he could to teach others about him, he would do it. Today, we are in a season where we need prophets. We need prophets to help tell us where to sit, where we find salvation, what's going on, and I have to say we're running short of prophets in 2016. I'm not sure if this is because of the nasty factor of consequences. You speak out, you could be penalized. But a Dr. King or a Jeremiah, they could care less about being penalized. They jumped forward, they spoke their truth. They didn't worry about losing their taxes or saying something people might not like. In my opinion, right now we're in a situation where we have to wake up and get smart. Not just the church, and not just for the church, but for all God's people. Years back in one of Obama's campaigns, when things were getting particularly snarky, he said, oh, for goodness sakes, we're in silly season. Now we've moved to dangerous season. If one person wins, angry people will think they can do and say and act as they please. And if the other person wins, the same thing's going to happen because the door has been unleashed on convention. We as Americans are better than this. We don't have to stand for injustice. And the best way to do it is to stand up. Not alone, but as a church. Remember those words that Paul said in our first reading? Remember from, he's talking to the people. They're the Hebrews, so he's talking to the Jews. He's telling them this important job they have to do. And what does he say? He says, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourself were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all. Unquote. To always remember, Paul is saying, always remember that what happens in the work we are called to do, that God doesn't leave us. God is always here to help us. There is nothing to be afraid of. And with God at our side, who could hurt us? In this church, we are called to stand up like Jesus did at the dinner table, to speak out the truth we've learned here. And in this dangerous political climate, to vote. Do not take your eyes off the prize. Move forward in whatever constellation you are today, for our community shape shifts all the time. We have an incredible opportunity, and we have not scheduled the date. But as many of you know, one of the other hats that Susan Huff wears is with the League of Women Voters. She has spent days and weeks and hours thinking about these 17, what are they called, propositions that you are to vote on. They often say when people go to the polls in a presidential year, you'll vote for president. But you, I don't know about that, I don't care. Judges, oh, I'll just vote, you know, my party. Really read these things because they affect you. But the good news is Susan has done homework for you, and she will teach you the pros and cons and what each proposition means, so well, you will be an informed person. You'll get an announcement on the date. We haven't put the date together, but it will be soon, before now in November anyway. Then you can stand up. You can say, I'm informed. I don't have to rely on what CNN or Fox News or whatever things we watch or read are telling us. We can trust Susan to hear both sides. This is what we have to do in this season. There are a lot of things that are happening here, and it's not about Republican or Democrat. It's about how do we take care of each other and do the right thing. We always have to remember, what did Paul say? God doesn't leave us. But we do have to stand up. Every Sunday before I leave, I want to share something with you that I have learned. I kind of, as I'm reading Jesus tell people the truth, I thought, okay, I guess I have to do that. I have learned that you are loving, you are knowledgeable, but I do believe, I think you need a bigger mission. The pantry is a mission, but only a few are involved. You need a mission that the whole church can get your arms around, doing small things or big things. And maybe, what if a mission, I just thought about this the other day, what if a mission included all of us doing a better job of taking care of the plants on our property? What if each person adopted a plant? How hard is that? You could go check on your plant. How's it doing? Do I need to water it? Is it doing okay? We could do it with Bayshore. We could do it with Old Orchard. We could do it as the community that sits on this property. There's big things that can be done. Very competent people who will be taking over for me when I leave. So my one little bit of advice is we need a big mission project that we can get our arms around. So we remember. We must remember that we're called not just to sit in the church and be complacent. I know it's nice. I know it feels great. This is why we love our church. We come on Sundays. Everything's beautiful. Music is spectacular. The people are friendly, and we love each other. But that's not enough. We sit at the table of the Pharisees, and we have to stand up. He said to the one who invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your rich relatives in case they might give you something in return. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed because they can't repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. We are called by God to be the church. It might be a little different call than we thought, but nonetheless, God doesn't kind of keep calendar or wear a watch or keep on our schedule. So all we can do is guess at what the best things are we are to do and be as the church, the United Church of Christ, Campbell United Church of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I hope we stand up. Amen and amen.